That was a very quick trip to British Columbia. I remember one of the first times I flew to Vancouver to speak there, and I, for some reason, was slated to speak quite late in the evening at a Sunday school teachers conference. And I don't know what I was thinking when I agreed, because it was literally midnight when I was supposed to be at my best. And well, they were gracious, we'll say that. I am more of an early evening kind of guy, and prefer to be at least in some rest mode at that time of night. Anyway, let me just say that my purpose is to speak a little bit about Hebrews chapter 11. And though my look at it may be unconventional or different from yours, that would be expected, I think. Yet I am sure that these days are marked by many differences from what we have come to expect. And whether it may actually be for you, and whatever it might be for you, I trust that you will find much joy in our Lord that will help to sustain you in these days. I want to ask tonight, have you stopped to think about what COVID-19 is really all about? I'm not talking conjecture or even the views of the experts or anything like that. I'm talking about the heavenly view of it all. What is this all about? A number of years ago, I was in Sault Ste. Marie having gospel meetings with a fellow preacher, and one day there was a sale at Canadian Tire, and he needed something. It was on sale. The sale had caused the store to be busy. People were just all over the place, and I didn't need anything, so I wandered up and down the aisles waiting and watching for the time when he would be served and get what he needed paid for. And when he was next to the next to be served at the cash registers, I went over and I stood close by. And I did something I hadn't done. I looked up. And up near the ceiling, there was a closed circuit television. And I was there, large as life. And I had no idea that someone had been watching me. Now, they probably thought that I might be up to some nefarious thing, but I'm more interested in the look of God as He checks out you and I in the midst of all of this. And I want to stop for a few moments and think about what it is that God is seeking, what He's seeking just now. And in the midst of these things, He has not grown weary of seeking what He wants to see in our lives. And He never will. Psalm 102 and 19, there we read, He looked down from the height of His sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. He takes it all in, He sees everything. In the language of Psalm 53, there it says that God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. God is very keenly interested in you and I. And not only so, but He's looking to see if we understand. And if we do, He knows the result will be that we will seek Him. He is looking for it and He is longing for it. Now, how do we seek Him? That is where faith comes in. As Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So this begs an answer. As an individual, whether you're saved tonight or unsaved, may I ask you, have you made a start by faith? That is, God has revealed His only Son as the Savior. And if we have received Him, the fact is that God still desires that we would continue in faith and simply follow his word. I want to read those first few verses of Hebrews 11, and from verse 1 down to verse 10. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaks. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, and not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We trust that the Lord will bless what we've read and what we'll consider from his word. This is basically what I want to consider, and it would be what we find here in the first few verses of Hebrews chapter 11. People have described this chapter as providing for us a definition of, or a description at least, of faith, but I prefer to think of it just a little differently, as a demonstration of faith. That is, that the reality of faith is illustrated and involved very much in the lives of God's own people. And if you would insist that this is a definition, then I would say it's the way that real lives and real people define it. This passage, it teaches us what is the real stuff of substance. As we read in verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Maybe it's worth considering that it's not so much what you get a hold of, but what gets hold of you. Faith recognizes reality despite the fact that what you're seeking cannot yet be seen. This is the real thing. This is true reality. This is what links us to the eternal. And in these early verses, three things could be said. First of all, what faith is and how it's seen relates at least to this in those early verses, that faith gives assurance and comfort, and faith produces approval from God, and that faith acknowledges God's revelation. When it comes to the first one, that faith gives assurance and comfort, that is, what it is to rest in him. I've been thinking of Believer's Hymn Book number 3, where it says about a mind at perfect peace with God. And I don't know how we all measure up in that today, but the hymn writer says, so near, so very near to God, I cannot nearer be, for in the person of his son, I am as near as he. So dear, so very dear to God, more dear I cannot be. The love wherewith he loves the son, such is his love to me. Why should I ever careful be? Since such a God is mine, he watches o'er me night and day and tells me mine is thine. And I don't know what you find in that, but what I see is that I can rest in this great and wonderful assurance and comfort. And the second thing that is mentioned in those early verses is that faith produces approval from God. And we've been speaking a little bit about verse 6, where it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then the third thing about acknowledging God's revelation, it means that God supplies the eyes of understanding. We read that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And it really encompasses both the physical creation and also the vast unfolding ages that are carried forth in just the way God intends. What a glorious God this is. And only God witnessed creation. Only God. And we know it. And we know about it by divine revelation. He has told us, and therefore we acknowledge it. We understand through faith that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Faith proves its reality by what it does. And James would be quick to concur as he says, I will show you my faith by my works. Now, first of all, we're going to look at how people define faith. And the first person that comes to our attention in verse 4 is Abel. And I want you to think about him for a moment with me, if you would. Faith offers what God wants, what God is seeking. When we were still unsaved, and when in reality, some of us knew better. We brought our good works to God, our feelings, and our own thoughts, and we attempted to make an exchange with God. We wanted to give him what we had and hopefully receive what we were looking for. And when we attempted to exchange them for salvation, we discovered that was not what God wanted at all. Hopefully, we're not still trying to present to God what we think is best. Notice Abel's offering was, in God's view, more excellent. And he obtained a standing that elevates Abel here before us on the pages of Holy Writ. Is it possible today to have such a standing? It tells us that God testified on his behalf. That is, that God bore him honorable witness because God saw the worth of Abel's faith. It's interesting to see how clearly the way was revealed to Abel. He knew it was God's way, and he knew it was the right way. He knew it was the only way. But Cain would not see it, or having seen it, he preferred his own way. How did Abel excel? Abel presented an acceptable offering to God. It was not his own best efforts. And when it comes down to our day and into our realm, Romans 12 speaks so plainly about that reasonable, spiritual, acceptable offering of what we are. Faith offers what God wants. Have you and I given to God the thing that he desires from us? The passage then flows on to the next thing brought to our attention, and I hope you will see that here in verse 5, we have Enoch presented to us. And the overriding thing I see here is that faith pleases God. Now, if the faith of Abel elevated his standing, what shall we say about Enoch? Talk about upward motivation and mobility. There's been a lot of talk about upward mobility today in relation to job enhancement and business. But this was upward with a divine difference. When it comes to testimony before men, we know it might vary widely depending on what others think matters or what they think of you. Or of what you do. But when it comes to testimony with God, and that's the emphasis here, what is the bottom line? As Micah reminds us, what does the Lord require? What does the Lord look for of thee? But to walk humbly with thy God. God gives evidence that stands to Enoch's credit eternally. Compare verse 2, where we read, through faith, the elders obtained a good report. God delighted in Enoch's company so much that he wanted him at his side. He pleased God. And God gave of him a high report. And an upward call. What kind of report would God give about me or about us today? The feeling that Enoch had seemed mutual, and Enoch and his God had so much in agreement that Enoch knew what it was to choose company with God. Even though he was a family man, even though long years came and went, and though the days were growing more and more wicked, here's a man who learned to speak, to prophesy for God. That is certainly something to covet, something I covet. A walk with God still pleases him. And so we, like Enoch, can choose to spend our time with God through his word and in communion. And someday, when you and I are ushered into his presence, we will realize as never before what really pleased God. Then please think about what we have in verse 7. And when we consider Noah, we have how faith accepts what God says. And it seems as though Noah accepted what God said without question. He took warning and he prepared. He was warned directly. And as Philip Yancey says in the book, Disappointment with God, here's the quote, faith means believing in advance what only makes sense when seeing it from the end or in a reverse view. Faith means believing in advance what only makes sense when you look at it in reverse view. Oh, you'll notice that it speaks about him in terms of things that were not seen. Noah didn't stop and look at the sky. Noah was moved with fear. And we have to ask ourselves, even today in this age, what is it that moves us today? His actions of faith and his deep respect for God provided the means for the salvation of his family. But just those, sadly, no more. He worked hard and long under divine guidance, and it all seemed pointless to the perishing ones around him. The many who did not know, their world was doomed. And it says that Noah condemned them. That is, God judged the world, but Noah agreed that God was right. And he wanted no part of it. When it comes to judgment, it can be hard to accept. It tells us of him that he was a preacher. And he was a preacher by his life, by what he was doing, undoubtedly. And that should have been enough. Just as we sometimes think that the world should hear the voice of the believer just from the kind of choices we make and the lives that we live. But he was living for something very real. And while that is true, here preaching means as a herald, as someone who was sounding it out. And you and I too, we have a responsibility to our world just as he did. When we turn to verse 8, we find that faith obeys God. Abraham is brought to our attention, and faith obeys God notwithstanding all. He was called. There was a voice from the unseen world. Try and explain that one to your neighbors. That you heard God say, well, he does speak to us, not necessarily in a literal voice, but this was not a voice of mystery to Abram either. It was the voice of the Lord. And that was all he needed. It says he obeyed. He listened and he submitted. He was told to leave it all and he did it. He went out, and that going out means with a sense of forsaking, even the idea of escaping from an age that would like to captivate and control us. And not only to escape and forsake, but with the sense of proceeding, as the scripture says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And Noah had heard the clear voice of God, and he obeyed God. What about us? Have we completely settled it in our heart that we will yield ourselves in obedience to God? When you come to verse 9, again, it's Abraham that's before us, and we learn that faith lives as a stranger. He was in the place of the promise, but that didn't mean all was perfect there. He still didn't treat it as if it was his right, a right of his own right. And his life was an example to his son and to his grandsons, just as ours must be. I don't think he knew the hymn, but you and I do. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And this world is just a temporary dwelling place. And faith lives as a stranger, because God has said it. And then when we come to verse 10, there we find that faith sees. That is, it envisions, it sees and grasps things that others do not. And here is Abraham, who had an expectation and a sure hope. And what he saw was the beacon that guided and directed him. And you know what you and I set our eyes upon, and what we see, whether it's in the scriptures or as we try and envisage our future, those are the things that guide and direct us in the right way. And he wanted something. He wanted something whose foundation was based in another world, something that would stand the test of time and eternity. And do I find today that I yearn only for the stuff of this age? Or is my heart longing for that other world? The fact is that the only real estate that Abraham owned was a place of burial. What a voice to all of us. This world is neither my hope, nor is it my home. Ah, but there's a better land. What do you see? Does your vision take in the eternal? And while I mention that, I just want to remind you of where we began at the beginning, when, what does God see? As he considers us today in the midst of this trial, what has he seen in us? That's what matters. This too shall pass away. But there's a glorious future ahead for the people of God. Now, as I draw this message to a close, and hopefully there's a conclusion in here that you can both pick up on and develop for yourself. But as I do, let me ask, does God give witness to those who, like Abel, offer to God what he is seeking? Does God find pleasure in our walk with him, as he did with Enoch? Don't be surprised if he calls you up there to share his joy. Has he observed our willing obedience to his call, like when he called Noah? Does heaven delight in what our eyes are fixed on, as God witnessed in the life of Abraham? Now I conclude. These things that we see in their lives gave witness to their faith. This is how they showed, they demonstrated their faith in God. And of course, I must conclude with this. These things, they will give witness to our faith. God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand and seek God and the way that is acceptable to seek him is in our faith, as it was in theirs. May God bless his word and you, his people. Thank you for the joy of being able to share with you.